Hello, this is Dara Sibby, and you're listening to Guildcast, presented to you by Sean Schuster and Ruby Bayer. There you go, you get to hear another charming British accent.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 14th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a nice little week last week, especially the weekend where we got to go to Gen Con, like we mentioned.
That was so much fun.
We had breakfast at Waffle House. That was incredible.
Less than fun. No, the company was great, but I've never been to a Waffle House before.
Really?
Yeah, really, and I thought it was going to be like an IHOP, because Justin from the site Sip set it up for us, and I don't mean to like say bad things about Justin, because the company was great. It was really nice to see you guys, but I thought it was going to be like an IHOP, where they'd pull tables together, because there were 10 of us.
Yeah.
After you counted in all the kids and everything, and I walked in, and I was like, oh, look at that. There's two little booths and a bar.
Yeah, when he told me that he wanted to go to Waffle House, I was like, really? For all of us? And we got there, and it was actually pretty empty. And it was funny because I thought we were going to do well having the three benches together, and then somebody came and sat in the last one. But actually, it didn't. It worked out pretty good. We still had seats.
Yeah, the food was pretty good.
Yeah, it was cool to see you, though. I mean, we've met, what, twice now?
Twice now.
Yeah.
In like 3 years.
That's
no, it was
true.
Very cool. I'm sad we didn't get there until the very last day, and you and Justin had been there for like 3 days, so.
Yeah.
You and Sarah and the kids went and did something different.
Yeah, we didn't really get to hang out too much, but.
But we had waffles together, and that's what's important. All right, but next time I'm picking the place that we eat. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree on that. Yeah, so we have had a pretty busy week with Guild Wars, and nothing like huge and, you know, class revealing or beta code revealing or anything like that. But we had a video, which is pretty cool, kind of a wrap-up video saying, yes, we're awesome, and we're still planning on being awesome.
And they were so right.
Yes. And let's see, a couple other little tidbits here and there, some kind of surprising news, I guess, and some fan site news we wanted to talk about too. So we will cover all of this today. So let's start out here with a little bit of information on the dialogue in Guild Wars 2. Now, this was a kind of a blog post that was written by Bobby Steen. Mm-hmm. He's the lead writer for Guild Wars 2. He's been with the company for a while. I saw him at PAX a couple years ago, and I believe he did some writing on Guild Wars 1 as well. But he wrote this little blog talking about the audio and how important it will be. And one of the big things I got out of this was the fact that he says the voicing in Guild Wars 2 will be the equivalent of 60 feature-length films.
That is insane. In a great way. In a very good way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's cool to kind of the details he talks about are things like, you know, you hear things in the background, you hear, you know, like money changing hands in a market, and you hear people talking. And I think one of the really cool things is you can actually, if you listen closely, you can hear other people talking about things that you can pick up on for quests. You know, like say someone is talking in the background near you in your vicinity and they need help with something, and then you know, and then you can kind of go off of that, go over there and talk to them. And I think that's really cool. It's a lot more than like, okay, where are the yellow or the green exclamation marks? And the, you know, it's not as, you know, you kind of get tunnel vision when you're just looking for the exclamation marks and just looking for that one symbol that's going to mean this person has a quest or this person has something to turn in a quest. Right. So it really opens up your senses, I think, a lot more, which is pretty cool.
I thought the same. I really enjoyed that. I'll tell you, and this is such a little thing that stood out to me. Did you listen to the audio all the way to the end?
No.
Okay, well, and I was just so upset that we can't embed audio on Massively, because I was going, I really want to put these audio files in there. But the full audio file on the ArenaNet blog post, at the end they were saying, you know, the sun is setting, the crickets are chirping, and I'm just sitting there listening to the surrounding noises and the environmental sounds. And it was the depth that just really, really caught me. I mean, you could hear the wind blowing through the trees, and you could hear the crickets, and just all of these little noises that you would hear if you were to get up and leave the house and go outside in the evening.
That, who does that?
Guild Wars 2, I think that's about it. It was so cool.
So, okay, so you don't have to leave the house now? You can just play Guild Wars 2?
I still think you need to leave the house sometimes.
Darn.
For Waffle House.
Oh, yeah, for Waffle House. That's...
To give you credit, though, when you go places, I mean, you, like, really, you leave the house for, like, a week.
That's true, yeah.
You made up for it. But really, just the depth and the realism struck me, and I was so impressed.
Yeah, I think that that's one of those things where it's exciting because it's something you don't really think about, I guess. But once we haven't seen it yet. But once you think about how that's going to be in the game, it seems like it would be one of those things that would really draw you in even more. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah,
it's cool to know that they're paying attention to that.
And I love the concept, like you said, of just wandering through town and seeing what there is to who needs help, what there is to do, mm-hmm. what's going on.
Yeah,
I like that. Just being able to walk around and pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this other little piece of news here, this is the video. I guess this was kind of the biggest news of the week, officially from them, which was this manifesto. This is a short little video where they show a couple of the developers, including one of the founders, Mike O'Brien, just talking, you know, on screen, where you actually get to see them talking. And you pointed this out in your write-up, too, where you said that, you know, it's nice to see them talk about their game instead of just see their text.
Right.
And they're talking about kind of, you know, what we can expect. It's kind of catching us up on what we know so far, plus, you know, reminding us of what they plan later. You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. like saying, we want to make this game different. We want to make it not like any other MMO. And I think one of the great things that Mike O'Brien said, a quote from there, is he said, if you like MMOs, you'll want to check out Guild Wars 2. If you hate MMOs, you'll really want to check out Guild Wars 2.
Yes, that was great.
That's such a great quote.
Well, and it's so true, because this is just, I know a lot of people are saying it's overhyped and maybe we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, but the one thing that we can count on Arena to do is follow up what they say they're going to do. Mm. When they're talking this specific, I really think this is going to be above and beyond anything we've seen before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we're part of the hype, I guess, because we're sitting here going crazy about it. But
hyping. But, you know, what went such a long way toward convincing me is, like you said, we got to see them, and we got to see and hear them firsthand telling us this. And it really communicated that they're passionate about this, and they want this, what you've called the holy grail of MMOs. Mm-hmm. They want this as badly as we do, and they've got the means to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's such an exciting combination, and it's going to mean something really great.
Yeah, definitely. We see in the video a lot of, there's some new footage, right? A couple videos of like the buildings just being destroyed and, kind of, you know, how the world is affected by us, I think, is a really important
part
of it.
Mm-hmm. And, that's pretty big. And a little bit of new battle footage. I'll tell you what I got such a kick out of, and it was just a silly little thing that made me laugh. There was an elementalist, and she, I guess, infused electricity into the bullets mm-hmm. that her companion was firing, and then the companion, he fired a shot at the enemy and it hit him, and he made like this cartoon Wile E. Coyote noise, and I don't know if anybody else heard that.
Yeah.
But he kind of flew up in the air and stiffened. And that absolutely, I watched that like 4 times because it was just such a great cartoony noise.
Yeah.
In the middle of all this realism, I loved it.
I didn't catch that, but
you're
I like
have to go back and watch.
I like your rendition though. I think that works better.
Yeah, I'm so glad we recorded that. People listen to that over and over. As soon as I did it, I was like, man, why'd you do that?
Especially around Sean.
Yeah.
While recording.
Thanks. But yeah, as far as us affecting the world, I think that really gave an idea of the scale of what you're going to be able to do. Did you see, like, the water towers falling?
Yeah.
And just that going everywhere. And what I want to know, how does this affect, what if you do that? What if you cause that humongous bridge to collapse, and I happen to be walking on top of it.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if those are just cinematic, or not cinematics, but footage from your personal story, you know what I mean? So there wouldn't be other people around.
You know, I sort of hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It would be cool to see that, kind of see it going on, like mm-hmm. while you're kind of walking around outside. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah. But again, we don't know for sure.
We don't, but, oh, ArenaNet, please, please, please give me something on that scale in a persistent world. Oh, yeah. I'd love that.
And you notice, too, one thing I picked up on, and I know you talked about this in your write-up, too, was that the art director, Daniel, I can never pronounce his last name, but he talks about how it's, like, stylized.
Like a painting.
Yeah, like a painting. That's the art style that they're going for. Now, of course, you know, the original Guild Wars was always praised for the advanced graphics that it had for 2005. I mean, it, mm-hmm. it really was, you know, like waves beyond what a lot of games had back then. And it wasn't ultra-realistic. Like, they weren't going for paintings, like, you know, they weren't going for ultra-realistic, mm-hmm. but it was still kind of, it had realism to it. I don't know how to explain that, but you know what I mean? Like, it looked realistic in the features, but then it was still to the point where, you know, you could see the stylization in there, especially later on. You know, the armor started getting a lot more stylized in mm-hmm. in Nightfall and in Factions. And I think that's what they're saying here, is that's kind of what they're going for a lot more. And by stylized, I think a lot of people say stylized is like cartoony, but that's definitely not the version of stylized that they're going for.
No, here. Not in this case.
Yeah, it's still realistic-ish, if that's a word. So it's not cartoony, but... And it's not even like, okay, Star Wars The Old Republic, they're also going for stylized, but it is, it's kind of a graphic novel look to it. You know, it looks like a comic book almost.
Yeah.
Same with, like, Champions Online. It's definitely, you know, understandably, they're going straight for comic book looks. Mm-hmm. But Guild Wars 2, they're not going for that side of it. You know, it's still realistic, but you can't, one thing you can't do with realism is you can never get it right. You know, you can never get it perfect. And especially in a game, you know, especially in an MMO, which requires less technology than, you know, a single-player game because of the streaming and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's always hard to kind of replicate that. And humans pick up on, you know, this is something I learned in art school, actually. You know, if someone's eyes are, if you draw someone and their eyes are just a hair too wide or too far apart, you know, the human eye will pick up on that immediately and it'll look fakey. And, you know, it doesn't, yeah, and I mean, you could draw a lion with its eyes too far apart and no one will care. But if you draw a human and it just looks off the tiniest, tiniest bit, it'll just look fakey. So I think that no one's really trying to go for that 100% because that would be a mistake. So I think that this is a good direction.
That's so cool. Now I want you to draw me something with the eyes too far apart now. Like, that's all I took away from that was that you can't get the eyes wrong or it'll look awful. But now I know what you mean. You can't do perfect realism in this medium. Hmm. So they're playing to their strengths. They're going realistic, but still keeping that stylized fantasy look. And I love that so much.
Yeah. I was going to say, what do you think about this look? I mean, so you love it?
I'm absolutely crazy about it because it lets them play up that fantasy element and really go grandiose and big and let you explore and give you a lot to look at. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's I don't know, gritty realism is not my thing. I mean, you know how much I love blood and guts. But I do like this, like you said, like a painting. I really like this deep fantasy look.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it too. I think it'll definitely help. You know, you think about all the different elements here and they haven't skimped on any of them, you know?
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, the art style, the sound we just talked about, the game mechanics, everything. It's, boy, I am so excited for this game.
Well, they are absolutely, they're going all out. I think they are going all out with every resource they had.
Yeah.
And that's what they said. I'm trying to remember exactly who said it in the video. But it was, you know, this is our chance to ask, what can we do? What do we want to change about the MMO world? Mm-hmm. And they're doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note, too, that all the footage we see in this video, in this manifesto video, it's all in-game stuff. You know, it's not
it's concept not CG.
Art. Yeah. Yeah, it's not CG cinematic done by a third party. which happens in a lot of games in the trailers, this is actual in-game footage. And we've had a lot of comments where people are like, yeah, great, you know, these CG cinematics are great, but when are we going to see actual gameplay? Well, this is it. I swear.
You've been seeing gameplay for 3 months, we promise.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, I guess that's a testament. You know, I imagine Arena that read comments like that and they laugh because, you know, it's just like, it's like too good to be true, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, just like you said, that's a testament to people are looking at this going, no, it can't possibly be this good.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
That's why we're so excited.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about some of the elements we see, the new elements we see. One of them is a dragon actually flies down from the sky, kind of a purplish dragon, kind of comes down, lands, and looks just completely amazing, and it's called the Shatterer, right?
Yeah, and that is one of the corrupted dragons. What's mm-hmm. cool is that the tie-in to Ghosts of Ascalon stood out for me there, mm-hmm. Because the Char ally, and I'm going to talk about Ghosts of Ascalon a little bit, so we're gonna spoil a little. The Char ally talked about how she was in the area of the Dragonbrand when the dragon flew over. And she said she was watching one of her companions, and his eyes started to glow purple. And, like, his armor sloughed away, and he was crystallized. And that's pretty much, that's what we're seeing there. This is a dragon that was affected, I guess, by the dragon brand when that one flew over.
Yeah.
And you can see the Char that are fighting, I'm not sure if the Char are fighting with or against it. I think they're fighting with the Shatterer. Mm-hmm. But they've got that same crystallized purple look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like you pointed out in your write-up, too, that this probably isn't something we're going to see right away, right?
No, that's, I think that's much higher level. And I don't know, there was some confusion. One of the devs sort of hinted that you might see this sort of thing in the demo as a level 47 Char. And it was all very, very, it was very ambiguous, and there was no confirmation whatsoever. But
yeah.
A lot of people picked up that you might get to see this at the high mid-range level. So it'll be a little while, but you get some cool enemies at level 1.
Yeah, and I think there was another pretty cool element that we got to see at the very end there. We see the shark, which we all have picked up on and fallen in love with.
Yes.
And then there was this giant creature, like its head came down.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, we see the character swimming in underwater. We see a shark kind of swimming in the background, and this giant head comes down right between the two. And then it cuts out. Like, that's the end. So it's like, here's what you can expect.
Yeah, the speculation on what that thing was absolutely went insane. I don't know how much of it you read. But
yeah,
a lot
the
of
forums?
People, yeah, a lot yeah. of people were like, it's a dragon, it's a dragon. Until Martin Kirstein came in and said, no, it's not. Breathe.
Yeah.
So we're thinking like maybe a turtle, like from Cantha.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily a Canthan turtle, but one of that type, or some sort of giant lizard thing. I just need to know if I can tame it. That's all I want to know.
Well, it didn't look like it was attacking the character. It looked like it was almost kind of just swimming by.
Yeah, it was just hanging out.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. But I would love to tame whatever that was. Nobody would mess with me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, cool. You mentioned about Gamescom. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because they've actually released some information on what we'll be able to see.
Yeah.
Or not us personally, but what the lucky people at Gamescom will be able to see. Because that, of course, is going to be the first public viewing and hands-on that people are going to get with Guild Wars 2. And this is huge. This is such a turning point, you know, because if people play it and they don't like it, we're all going to hear about it, you know.
Oh, yeah. But I honestly just can't see that happening.
Yeah. So what are the things we're going to see? They've really detailed kind of exactly what we're going to see.
Yeah, they've given us, you get two choices. You can play as a human in the starting area. You can do a starting human. And what I really hope is that we'll get to see some character creation. I don't know if they'll let you create a character so you can look at all that, or if they'll just say, okay, here's your level 1 human.
Yeah.
But you get to play in the human starting area, which is Divinity's Reach. So that's something. Divinity's Reach is something that I have been dying to see.
Yeah.
So I assume you get to explore that. You'll get to go out and, I'm sure, fight a little bit. Now, something that we saw, did you see the huge earth elemental in the video?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a level 1 enemy. That's nice. Something that you will fight at level 1. So my assumption with a human starter is that you'll get to take on something like that, but
yeah.
You'll definitely get to see Divinity's Reach. Now, your other option is a level 47 char, and that's going to give you... What's cool about this is that you can play with this human starting area and say, okay, I want to see storyline, I want to see the basics of what this game is about, or you can go the route of the level 47 char, and what you're going to get is a view of more combat. You're going to get to view the high-level skills, maybe play with some skill combinations and some skill chaining.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go, you know, you can go the storyline route, or you can go the combat and skill route. And I hope they let you do both.
Yeah.
You know,
I imagine they're not going to let us see character creation unless they completely black out the other classes and professions. Because, you know, there are still some professions we haven't seen yet or haven't been announced yet. I just wonder how, like, what kind of build they're going to have for Gamescom and PAX, if it's going mm-hmm. to be something, you know, minus the things we haven't heard about, or if they're going to have, like, armed guards there. Like, if you try to go exit and then back to character creation, they'll just shoot you in the head, or I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't think they're that harsh. They'll probably just, like, strangle you or hit you over the head.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty nice people. I think it'll be okay. I actually did not think about that until you said something. That was something that completely went over my head.
That's because that's exactly what I would do if I
was
there.
You're the one always getting in trouble because you're running off doing stuff. You're not supposed to.
I'd be like, hey, guys, look over there. It's someone trying to steal the source code. And they'd be like, what? And then I'd be like, character creation. Okay, what classes are these? Picture, picture, picture.
And you're like screaming, he ran that way. See, but now I can't do that at PAX because you tipped them off.
Oh, yeah. Darn it. I mean, ArenaNet, if you're listening, we do not plan.
We were just kidding. I don't know. You know what? We're going to have 3 other massively people at PAX. So we're going to have all 3 of those guys, like, strip their shirts off and go running through the ArenaNet booth.
Also,
run faster.
Wait, 3 guys? Well, one girl could do that and have more impact, I think, probably.
I am going to be busy on character creation.
Right, right.
You have to work with what we have here.
Right.
So, but no, I didn't think about that. So they probably will just have a character there for you. But just the opportunity to walk through Divinity's Reach and see what's going on. Find out where we can go, where we can look around.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited. And like I said, this is not only going to be at Gamescom August 18th. Is that, that's like a week away. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're going to find out. We're going to have Massively, I say we, but Massively is going to have some people on the ground there. We're going to have a video of Guild Wars 2. Some people are going to be giving their first impressions, and it's going to be pretty sweet. We're probably not going to get all that set up and done until after the weekend because, you know, video takes a while. But, that's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to have a little bit of hands-on video impressions. And then at PAX, Ruby is going to be there for Massively and Guildcast to you know, kind of let us know what, you know, what it's like and her impressions. And we'll entitle it Impressions from a Fangirl. How's that?
Yes! I'm just like bouncing up and down in my chair going, oh my gosh, it's 3 weeks away!
That's going to be a great Guildcast after you come back from that. It's going to be so great.
Like, I keep telling you, it's just going to be me going,
ee! Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to it. And it's really cool that they kind of let us know beforehand what to expect.
Yeah.
I imagine, and we have appointments set up, you know, we'll be able to see this. But I imagine, you know, for them to be able to open this up to the public, there is going to be a line. And it's going to be, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be incredible. I don't know if... not everyone is going to have to get an appointment, but I just wonder if kind of the general, you know, PAX is kind of a fan-based event, so I just wonder how they're going to handle that, and it's going to be a nightmare.
They said they're going to have 45 stations.
Wow.
It's not even going to be close to enough.
Yeah, oh no, it won't. But
I mean, it's But 45, that's huge.
Yeah, that is.
Unless I'm just completely off.
No.
But I keep thinking back, and I know I've mentioned this before, my really only point of reference is the APB booth at PAX East, and they had maybe 12?
Yeah, I think they had 8 or 10, I think, because I think they had 5 on each side.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, you think about that.
And it was insane. I mean, we had somebody there, Serafina was there with us, and she tried and tried and tried to play that game. And she finally had to, like, flash her press pass and beg.
Yeah.
And that's not anything like what this is going to be.
I think NCSoft's booth at PAX is always really big, but they always have, you know, City of Heroes and Ion, and, well, before they had Tabula Rasa and Dungeon Runners, stuff like that. Now that, you know, it's pretty much, I mean, they're going to have to show stuff for City of Heroes going rogue, because that's releasing too. Ion 2.0 is coming out, so they're going to definitely have stuff for that. And to have those in addition to 45 stations for Guild Wars 2.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be enormous.
They're going to have to rent half of the convention center. <That's
crazy>. Okay. I absolutely cannot wait. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah. So. It's going to be great.
But yeah, I will have so much to tell. And you guys, I promise I'll take like a billion pictures.
A billion. I will start counting.
Okay. Hey, if you hold me to that, I'm going to start holding you to those crazy numbers that you send me. When you're trying to tell me there's a lot of something.
When I just lay my hand on the keyboard over and over again? Yeah.
Yes, and you send me like a 10-digit number.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, despite this happy news that we're talking about here, I think there's one little bit of news here that kind of took us all by surprise this week.
Yeah.
And there are 4 members of ArenaNet who have left, and one of them is James Finney, who has been with, you know, been with the team, I think, since day one. I think he's been at least in the early days. He was the design director, and, you know, this guy did so much for the game. He's always in videos. You know, he was actually just recently in a video where I noticed he cut his hair.
I remember you said that.
Yeah, he used to have really long hair, really cool, like, I don't know. I always respect long hair because I can't grow long hair. So
hair on me.
So yeah, you know, he's actually leaving the company, but what's even more peculiar is that he is going to work for Jeff Strain, who is one of the founders, along with Mike O'Brien and Patrick Wyatt, of ArenaNet. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, let me explain this really quickly. Mike O'Brien is the guy who is still with ArenaNet. You know, he's kind of running the show now. Patrick Wyatt and Jeff Strain, all three of them started ArenaNet, way before Guild Wars launched. So Patrick Wyatt went on to work for InMas Entertainment, who is working on Terra. Jeff Strain left to form Undead Labs, which they are working on a zombie MMO. So here we have James Finney and there's artists and another designer that are leaving to go work with Jeff Strain at Undead Labs on the zombie MMO. And I think it was funny because Mike O'Brien had a little statement. He says, "Of course we're disappointed to see them go, but I also know these guys are each individually huge zombie fans and are going to work on a zombie game, so I'm excited for their opportunity and wish them all the best." So, now I'm a zombie fan too. That would be a tough call for me if I worked at ArenaNet. It would be like, do I work on the best game ever, or do I go work for zombie, you know, for a zombie MMO? But, you know, it really says a lot, I think, as to what the zombie MMO might be like. You know, I mean, we're not a zombie MMO cast here, but I think it's like something that I was keeping my eye on it before because Jeff Strain was working on it, but now it's like, wow, he got James Finney away from, you know, Guild Wars 2, you know,
yeah,
and 3 others to come work. I mean, that's crazy.
They just got a very big infusion of talent, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm excited, and this could really mean things are moving ahead at Undead Labs, because we've not heard a lot from them for a while. It's been pretty quiet over there.
Yeah, and I think once we do, it'll probably explode. But yeah, I mean it's still I'm happy for those guys. You know, if they found something better, if they found something that they're maybe more interested in, you know, the zombie genre, that's really cool. But man, I mean James Finney, I can't say that enough. It's just.
I am a little sad. I guess this means we won't have zombies in Guild War 2. Guild Wars 2.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Unless
maybe that was the problem. Maybe they were lobbying for zombies and they got choked out. So we'll take our zombies and go play somewhere else.
That's true. That's probably what happened.
I'm sure. The entire ArenaNet staff is rolling their eyes right now. They don't know why. But they are rolling their eyes.
Yep. Well, so. I guess that's a cool thing is, you know, when you get to that point of James Finney, you know, and these other artists who you kind of do what you want, you know.
Oh yeah.
It's like I've you know, James Finney has done his work, you know, he's done his stuff. It's kind of like when a band member leaves a very successful band to kind of join another band, and you're like, what are they thinking? But it's like, you know, they've done that. They're just trying something else now, you know.
Yeah, taking their talent and seeing what else they can do with it.
Yeah, so I would totally, you know, wish them the best of luck, and I can't wait to see the zombie MMO.
I know. I think it's going to go very well, especially now. They've got some good guys over there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so this last little bit of news here before we get into some email I wanted to read is, now, okay, Guild Wars 2 Guru, we've mentioned quite a bit on the show, and I've fumbled over the name, I think, every single time. And they are, of course, anyone who's been a fan of Guild Wars since the beginning remembers GuildWarsGuru.com, and this, of course, is the Guild Wars 2 version of that. They have just announced that they were just bought out by Curse. Now, anyone who knows Curse, they are the ones who make they make a lot of add-ons for World of Warcraft. I believe they made Thoughtbot and Wowhead, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe Wowhead is the site that runs the add-on. I don't know. I'm completely confused. But they've
this
made
is why
some,
I'm staying quiet.
Yeah, they've made some really successful WoW add-ons, and they also bought up a lot of. It seems like kind of their thing now for Curse is they're buying up. Fan sites, like they bought Warhammer Alliance, Ion Source, which was huge. There's a Terra Fans, which is a Terra fan site, and now they bought Guild Wars 2 Guru, and I believe Guild Wars Guru also, right?
Yes, Guru as well.
Yeah, yeah. So this is huge because I think I don't know. It's almost like. Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to turn it into? You know, what's going to happen? But they released kind of a statement here, and they're saying it's not really going to change a lot. Actually, the things that it will change will be better, such as the performance. They're going to have new servers. You know, Curse, of course, has probably better servers, and they're going to have more staff. You know, they're going to have, like, some software upgrades, expanding their staff, and increasing their coverage and content. So I think that means that they're... Essentially, they'll have a little bit more resources to play with to be a better site. Not that they needed to be better, because I think that you know they were pretty much the go-to site for any Guild Wars fans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, their forums have been the unofficial Guild Wars forums for years and years. And everything they do is pretty well-respected, you know, from the news that they cover to the forum moderation, you know, although I'm sure I'll get arguments on that, but, you know, it's just the go-to place. It's where everybody goes. So, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about this acquisition?
You know, I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see approach, and I've got to hand it to JR and the mods over there, and even the members. It is one of the most well-organized sites I think I have ever seen.
Yeah.
So I don't see how the Curse acquisition can change that. I think they're going to continue with that. Now, somebody did ask, does this mean we're going to get ads? Hmm. And JR said that ads have always been an inevitability, unfortunately. It's just, you know, it costs money to run these sites. So I think we are probably going to see ads coming to Guild Wars 2 Guru. Hey, I said that without stumbling over it. And I chatted with JR about this just a little bit yesterday, and he just, on the surface, not much is going to change. Some of the people from Curse are going to have a more significant presence for a while they help and work to get the changeover taken care of. But day to day, I just don't think we're going to see much of a difference. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, because there's a lot of good here at Guild Wars 2 Guru that needs to stay. Mm-hmm. So if Curse is smart, they will leave things running as they are, as much as is possible.
Yeah, I think that is an important thing. When these types of things happen, it's very important to note that these are specialty sites, and you know people go to them for a reason. And you know, once you start mucking with that, it'll really kind of make a lot of people angry, and they won't go there anymore. I mean, the thing with that, though, you know, we have gwonline.net, so it's like there are, I mean, that, you know, as an example of another big one, so there are other kind of quote-unquote competition sites that people could turn to if it ever got to the point where people didn't like what Curse, if Curse changes anything, you know, which they said they're really not. So I think they recognize that, and they would be silly not to. So hopefully they do keep it the same, and it'll just mean kind of a stronger back end to the site.
Right. I really hope to see. You don't want to mess, you know, you're onto a good thing here. You don't want to mess with it and start changing it around just because you can.
Exactly. So I wish them the best of luck with that changeover, and congratulations. You know, I think that it's every fan site's dream. You know, to get bought out like that. Well, maybe not every, but it's a lot of fan sites' dreams to get bought out like that. At least to get supported.
I have to say, I'm happy you gave a little mention to the Guild Wars Online site. That's my little. They're smaller, but that's my little Guild Wars home. That's where my alliance hangs out.
Yeah.
They're a very, very good site, too.
Yeah, well, they've always been pretty big. I used to go in there all the time back in the old days when they... actually, I had an interview with someone who used to make videos really early on in Guildcast, a guy who made videos, and he started making them on Guild Wars Online, on GW Online.
Cool.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Cool. So let's... I wanted to read a few emails, and we actually just got a new one, so we have 41 emails.
Oh, we did?
Let's start this first one here. This is from Echo, and he says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, I was thinking about the frequency of Guild Wars 2 class release, and I believe that since they've released three classes so far, with about 1.5 months in between, plus time for open beta, which they claim will release very close to release unlike Guild Wars 1, I'm predicting release in August to November of 2011. Just 100% educated speculation. Keep up the good work with your great podcast." I would hate to get into a speculation debate on the release date.
I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, I don't think August through November 2011 is that far off. I mean, I don't think that would be too crazy.
It's not unreasonable.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, unreasonable. But yeah, I totally think the end of the year, probably this time next year, will probably be an open beta, would you say?
Oh, man, I hope so. I can see... What is it? It's August, yeah. I can see open beta August 2011.
Yeah.
So that's my official speculation. Feel free to hold me to it.
Feel free to quote us. No. Actually, you know, the fact that they're showing the game off in a couple weeks here, and then the fact that, you know, it means that the game is... I don't know. I mean, playable. So if it's to that point, then it seems like closed beta should be starting pretty soon. But I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. You know, ReNet kind of does things their own way. They don't really say, oh, now we got to have the closed beta. Oh, now we got to have the open beta, you know, because that's the rules of MMOs. They don't really do stuff like that. So
it seems to work well for them.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do. They're rebels. They do what they want.
Because they can. They are just that good.
Here's another one.
Oh no.
Let's see. This is this one's from 9 days ago. It's kind of funny, and it's from Alan, and he says, "Hey, you two wild and crazy people, Morkins here." This is Morkins in MVOP.
Yeah.
He says, "Even though StarCraft II has been consuming my life lately." Anyway, ArenaNet mentioned the Sandwich Mancer in their latest blog post. That's one we talked about last week. "The time has come to speculate. Personally, I see the Sandwich Mancer as a bard-type class that spreads sandwiches instead of songs and poetry. Either that, or it is the code name for the new Mesmer, which is powered completely by sandwich power instead of energy. And depending on the type of sandwiches you eat, you get different skills. Or perhaps it is the assassin and specializes in poisoning sandwiches that enemies eat. Like a trap, only it's really a sandwich." What do you think the Sandwich Mancer is? P.S. On a more serious note, you do want to see a Sandwich Mancer Easter egg in the game now, right? Sandwich Mancer, I can't say that over and over again. the Sandwich Mancer pub in Divinity's Reach, or Ebonhawk, or some crazy hermit hidden in the middle of Ascalon calling himself the Sandwich Mancer. Something has to be in the game now, right? Yes, I agree.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I would play a Sandwich Mancer in a heartbeat. These are such great ideas.
They have to look like Norgu, though. You know, a little pudgy around the middle
Have the little gut.
Yeah.
I think so, from all the sandwiches.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. And yes, there needs to be some sort of Sandwich Mancer something in the game now.
It's going to be so awesome.
And a sandwich, but not a poisoned assassin sandwich.
Okay, so we got another email here. I'm literally picking these out randomly, so if I don't get to yours, I apologize. This one says, I think what Sean said in an earlier episode is true. It's fun to know exactly where to go to sell things. I think the worldwide marketplace should only be in main cities. It would be across all districts in all the main cities, but I think in other cities it should be across all districts in that town. That's just my opinion, Alex. Yeah, because we talked a little bit about some speculation on the auction house marketplace that they're going to do. They have confirmed that that is something that they plan to put in the game because it was such a kind of a sensitive topic with a lot of players for Guild Wars 1 because there's no auction house. So it was one of those kind of top reasons why they decided to go completely with a sequel. So we know that there's going to be an auction house, but it's just how they're going to do it. And I think that's what Alex is talking about here. You know, it is fun to speculate, but, you know, will they put them in all the major cities? Will they put them in every city? You know, do we know?
Okay, I think it's going to be in every major city, and it's going to be like a flea market where you set up an 8-foot table and.
See, now that would be cool.
See, I know, I'm saying, and then you have to sit there all day.
Kind of like Star Wars Galaxies, and you know, you get like an NPC you could hire to be your shop master or something like that. That would be really.
Oh,
cool.
I thought that would be the one to go to the concession stand and bring you back a Coke. Listen, man, I've been sitting here for 5 hours. I have to pee. You're going to have to help me out here.
See, that's the Sandwich Mancer right there. He'll make sandwiches for you so you don't have to get up.
And maybe watch your booth for a little extra fee.
Yeah. We are dorks.
Isn't it awesome?
Okay, so let's go to a next one here. This is from Terrence. Says, hi, Guildcasters. I just heard you read the email from the couple who are stuck in the Southern Shiver Peaks. Others have probably written in with this advice, but I have 3 words for them. Guild Wars Wiki. They list every quest and mission along with strategies on how to complete them, both using a group of real players as well as computer-controlled henchmen and heroes. I like to try to complete everything without help, but when I'm really stuck, I'm not ashamed to check out Guild Wars Wiki's walkthroughs. They have really helped me in the past. So there you go.
Very cool. I'm making a little note for myself to add Guild Wars Wiki link in show notes. So I'll put it in the show notes and you can just click on it from there.
Yep. It's very helpful. That's another site that's been around forever.
Yeah, and, I like the wiki. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. There is the official wiki and there is the unofficial wiki.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that in MVOP the other night. The official wiki is so good for information. But if you want to see armor renders so you can kind of plan and see what kind of armor that you want to get, the official wiki has the butt ugliest armor renders. Seriously, they're horrible. I go to the unofficial wiki to see any, because it's actual screenshots on the unofficial wiki. The official wiki has, to illustrate the color, the dyeable areas, they color them bright red and it looks like something out of Tron.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, I can see that.
It's horrible, so maybe I'm... Okay. And Wikia. Okay. That's the only thing I hate about the wiki.
All right, let's go to this next email here. This is from Dakota. It says, hi, Sean. I just came across you and Ruby's podcast today. I had been listening to the first one and haven't been able to finish it yet. However, so far I enjoy it. One thing I would like to point out I heard was bringing back of the Mesmer or Necro. My guess is the Necro because of the first chapter available on the Guild Wars 2 website of the book Ghosts of Ascalon. It states there is a Silvari Necromancer in the crew. I don't know for sure if this is something to go by, but if it's sticking with the lore of the game, I guess it said it would be Necromancers. Yeah, that's we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I think that they're definitely going to reveal it, but it's just kind of win. You know, who will be next or what? We don't know. He continues on here and says, "I'm so excited. Thanks for setting up the Guildcast. I shall wait for more episodes as soon as I catch up to the most recent one."
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And yeah, it's one of those things where we're coming up here. I mean, we have 2 weeks till Gamescom.
And, we one have week 5 days yeah, we until have one, Gamescom.
Wow. We have 5 days. So, and they said that they're going to make the announcement before Gamescom, right?
Yes. So Sean's looking at the calendar going, what happened?
I'm like,
when did it become August?
This isn't June anymore? Oh, man. I've got to flip that page over.
You're out of town for a while.
But if you look at it, okay, they usually do reveals, although they've changed this. They used to do reveals on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. and now they've kind of changed it.
They've got complacent.
Yeah, they've changed it. They're keeping us on our toes. So I don't know. I'm thinking Tuesday. I'm thinking the 17th we're going to get a new class. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to plan on Tuesday. I just, you know, I've seriously completely given up on trying to figure this out. And I think that's kind of what ArenaNet wants.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
I'm on board with Tuesday. I could go with Tuesday.
Yep.
So just not Thursday night, please. Please not Thursday night. Stop doing that.
Yeah. Let's try, like, afternoon. How's that? Early afternoon?
Actually, we were playing, and I tease, I mean, you know, I'm never going to complain about new information,
yeah.
but I tease because 2 weeks in a row, it just happened to drop, I mean, big new information happened to drop when we were playing with the Massively Guild Wars group. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened last night. Last night, I actually turned off TweetDeck after a while. I said, I don't even want to know if anything happened. And somebody logged in about 15 minutes after our starting time and said, hey, has the party started yet? And someone else in guild chat replied and said, the party never starts until ArenaNet drops information and pulls Ruby out of our group.
So true, so true.
So I'm going to, I can do Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon early would be great.
Cool. Well, we actually, the people we have at Gamescom are going to be there on Wednesday doing their thing. And like I said, it'll probably be the following Monday or so until we get the video up. But, you know, we're going to record. I'm going to talk to the guy who's going for us before that and kind of, you know, prod him for some information on what he thought of the game and everything. And then we'll record next week for next Friday. It'll be right smack dab in the middle of Gamescom, but we're going to record and kind of, I think we can dedicate next show probably to kind of a collection of the thoughts that are being posted around, you know,
yes.
impressions and everything. Because, you know, there are a lot of blogs out there. There are a lot of MMO blogs out there, and there are a lot of Guild Wars-specific blogs out there. I mean, Guild Wars 2 Guru is going to be insane in the forums.
It's going to explode.
I mean, people are going to be, you know, doing the hands-on and running back and posting their impressions mm-hmm. on the forums. So we're going to pretty much dedicate next show to reading a lot of those and yeah. you know, kind of talking about that, I think.
Now, the people that we're going to have, I'm sure they'll have still pictures as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
And do they have an appointment yet?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay, cool. Then we're all good to go, and we will have
yep.
lots to see.
Yep, that's true. Very cool. And so hopefully if there's a class reveal, we'll have that to talk about, too. It's going to be a busy show next week.
Huh? I can't wait.
And then they're going to announce the launch date. And, oh, wait.
Okay, now you're getting ahead of yourself just a little bit.
They're going to announce Guild Wars 3.
Hey, I announced Guild Wars 3 a month ago.
Oh, that's right. You are way ahead of your time, I swear.
I really am. I come from the future. Don't eat that thing you were going to eat for dinner tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
So next email.
Okay, next email. We have... this is another one about the Sandwich Mancer.
There is big love for the Sandwich Mancer.
I know. This is from Tankcaster.
Hey,
congratulations.
Tankcaster.
Congratulations, Sean. She says she's avoiding getting pummeled via use of name order. You are now a Sandwich Mancer. Tankcaster again. Hello to the Sean and Ruby. Ruby and Sean. Ruby with an I. Spelled it right. I got no sleep last night due to my amount of catching up news-wise and whatnot. This is from 2 days ago. Anyway, I was on Facebook and someone did agree they expected a class release. I bet all the money in the world Ruby is revealing something totally awesome at the moment or already has. Are you?
What? I'm mostly just wondering if you're a Sandwich Mancer, can I tell you to get in the kitchen to make me a sandwich?
You can tell me whatever you want, but...
It's not going to do me any good.
Yeah.
I have nothing to reveal, I'm sorry.
Oh, or do you? I don't know. Okay, so the email goes on and says, either that or I'm just making an idiot of myself.
No, we're doing that.
Yeah, I've been talking about the game to some of my newer gaming friends. Shame, shame, they said the graphics reminded them of Fable 2. I virtually mashed his face with my Xbox 360 and now have no desire to play Fable 2 anymore.
What? Why would you ruin a perfectly good Xbox like that?
I know. Guild Wars and Fable are nothing alike, she writes in all caps and exclamation marks. But the graphic is something that amazed me. I mean, the atmosphere is so articulate. As an artist, just looking at the structure of the buildings, the story, the sounds, the music does more than amaze me. Actually, I giggled when a developer was talking. His accent made me lol.
Was that Daniel?
I don't know.
But
I have come here to ask what your opinion is on the possible Guild Wars 2 game music. How important do you think music is in a game? Oh...
It's Jeremy's soul. It's the most important thing that has ever been in the whole world.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long Tinkcaster's been playing Guild Wars, but it's one of those things where when you hear that kind of, I don't know, that there's a certain, I'm not going to sing it, but there's like a certain, like, refrain, I guess, that...
I made that stupid Looney Tunes noise you have to sing.
No way.
Is it, you know what, go to YouTube, Tinkcaster, go to YouTube and look for Eye of the North Overture and just listen.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you listen to it and it's so powerful. I think game music is very, very important. Of course, I know people who just turn music off, you know, completely. I don't like to do that. Unless, like, when I'm on vent or something, I'll turn it down a little bit, but still, I have to have the music on. It's really important to me.
And the music in Guild Wars is absolutely one of its very, very strong points.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jeremy Soule, the guy, he's done so many games.
Yeah, come on.
But I think Guild Wars is one of his strongest ones, definitely.
I'm telling you, Eye of the North Overture, go find it, listen.
Yep. And even the pre-searing music. I mean, you hear that and it almost makes you want to cry, you know?
I go back to pre. I create a pre-character every now and then and just run around with the music up because I absolutely love it. I'll tell you another one that I like when you're running around the northern Shiver Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Well, not the far Shiver Peaks, the north, kind of in the middle Shiver Peaks now. There's this music in the background that just, it really fits that cold, frozen area so well, and it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, yes, in short, the music is so important.
Did you ever buy any of the soundtracks?
No, I just go play the game, and I have actually literally left my login screen up sometimes and turned the speakers up. I need the soundtracks, though. That's something that I would really like to have.
Yeah. I have, I have Nightfall, I think. Yeah, I have Nightfall.
Now, I spend all my money on Guild Wars accounts. There are four people in my family that play now.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's where all my money, and three of us want Guild Wars 2 Collector's Editions. We're going, oh my gosh.
What's wrong with the fourth person?
He's 10 and he doesn't care. But Kev and I and our 13-year-old, we all have our hearts set. We don't even know what's in the collector's edition. We just know we want them.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It will be something we need. Need. So Tankcaster's email goes on and it says, I think music creates a unique atmosphere for the player. Music may or may not be repetitive, but there are some do's and don'ts. Like, so the music is something that should vary in each zone, so to speak. Something that fondly irritates me is in games like Aika and Atlantica Online, when you are walking, the music is all dramatic, and it's almost the same as when you zone in and out of areas, especially in Aika. Sorry, Aika fans, please don't sue me. That's what she said. If you notice, almost every zone has the same music, and there is almost no change of music as you go into battle. Well, the guy respawns 4 seconds later anyways, and the music just tends to annoy the player even more. In Guild Wars, music in an outpost was dimmed a great amount, and it doesn't play every moment of the game, and it's not the same thing over and over again. As you go into a fight, this amazing orchestral piece gradually accompanies you in battle. It brings excitement and makes you feel like a part of the gaming environment. As for anything else, I say Guild Wars, not Guild Wars 1. I don't know why it just stuck. Yeah, I would agree with that. Just Guild Wars. Just regular Guild Wars.
But I've started hearing people say Guild Wars 1, so...
Yeah, I would rather say that. Actually, I think Ryan responded and said, oh, it's on, or something.
Yeah, I laughed when I saw that. I tell you, I really do. I like what Tankester had to say because it's the variety is part of what makes it great.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think so too.
And the battle music is awesome. We were laughing the other day. I was playing with my guild, and you know that the battle music in Guild Wars, the fight starts and the music kicks in, and then it's like a 2-second fight, so the music's like, never mind.
Yeah. It's like there's some, I can't remember what game it is. There's some games that have, maybe it's Lotro, I don't know. Some game has a really like a delay on the combat music when it starts, and it's kind of bad. It's like when I was younger, we used to play a lot of football games on the Sega, and there's a NFL 95. That's old. And we used to play it, and like when you tackle someone, it would say tackled immediately, like literally 2 seconds after you tackled them, and it was just it was the most amusing part of the game.
Know.
Yeah. So actually, that reminds me of that. But now what she's talking about with Aika. Aika is kind of designed to be a streamlined game. I actually like that game a lot, but it's very streamlined because they want it to be 1,000 versus 1,000 PvP battles. And that's a lot of people, so they have to streamline stuff like the music and the graphics and stuff like that. But you know, that's certainly not the case in a much higher budget game like Guild Wars 2. You know, I mean, again, Jeremy Soule.
That's all you need to say.
Okay, so the end of her email here, she says, I also started the character sketches for my webcomic idea, Tankcaster Frog. Basically, the main character is a giddy, sporty, pyromaniac elementalist that has a knack to be mean to Asura, primarily Vec, and is acquainted with our one and only Doom. Please tell me I spelled it right. Yes, you did. D-H-U-U-M. U-U. Nice. I said U-U. I'm hoping once I get things posted and running, it will be a daily thing, as each day you get a new mini-comic that will hopefully make you giggle. There you go. So, thank you, Tankcaster, for that email. We don't have a link for your... Well, I guess it hasn't really started yet, but let us know when that starts, when you start getting that up there.
Definitely send that in.
All right, well, that's all the email I'm going to read, but... Yeah, but so hopefully next week, I mean, like we said, that's going to be pretty exciting, you know, with the first impression stuff where we're going to read and hopefully a class reveal.
Oh, please give us a class reveal.
Yep.
I can't imagine they'd be like, okay, we're going to give a class reveal. Oh, never mind, just kidding, haha.
Yeah, or maybe they might, well, I don't know. I got 5 days, so.
Oh, come on, give us something. Give us something for those of us that are stuck in the States.
Yeah, with no money.
Yes. Martin Kirstein tweeted the other day that he was getting ready to go. You know, he was getting ready to leave, and he said, I know, I forgot something. And I tweeted back, I said, you forgot me. Take me with you. Put me in a suitcase.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So I guess that's it for this show. And you can check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. You can check out our main site at guildcast.wordpress.com, and all of this in the show notes at guildcast.wordpress.com is where you'll find the links to Twitter and Facebook and a link to email us, which is sean@guildcast.com or ruby@guildcast.com. And I think that's about it from us for this week. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll see you next time for an awesome show.
Yay!
The death of all that was good. A tribute to monks as a healing class and to Ascalon by Blood Avenger. Sing of your sorrow and bellow your dread tomorrow in Ascalon. All will be dead. Bar the doors! Men of war shall lie strewn on the floor as this city stands cursed by their ill-fated lore. The terror-webbed riders hold no terror for they who fell to the full fire that most awful day. The mists still shift distantly. No respite is found for the ones for whom restlessness should have been drowned. Is there no one to help? None to come to their aid? Silence is their answer, till their ransom is paid. Till redemption is made. For the monks have been smitten, and the world even more. Without them, all living are washed in rot and gore. No soothing or mending for body or soul, no city or men shall again be made whole. Shed a tear. Lift your ear for the last distant din of an Ascalon whose banner flies proud in the wind. They dwindle and die with no monks in their rank. For the death of all that was good, we have a net to thank.
Yeah.